141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers host Mitchell and looking to join Celtic in the Europa League playoffs. Neil Lennon says there's a collective responsibility for their Champions League exit, and Aberdeen have a mountain to climb without the help of Sam Cosgrove. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Well, like you say, Gordon, it's over to Aberdeen and Rangers this evening. Aberdeen, slightly harder task, uphill battle against Rijeka at home. But Rangers, slightly easier task, having scored four goals away from home. Such an impressive performance away from home. However, if anything Tuesday night told us, it's nothing as certain in European football. So Rangers will have to start in a professional manner, try and get an early goal and just put the tie to bed. But chatting about the other night, I'm sure we'll still have callers who are reeling about Tuesday night's performance and Celtic being knocked out of Champions League.
From a Scottish perspective, Gordon, and our clubs trying to do as well as possible in Europe, it has been a disappointing week so far. Thanks to Celtic's Champions League exit. Do you fancy Rangers to keep their end of the bargain tonight?
Yeah, 100%, Gordon. I can't see any slip-ups whatsoever. 4-2 lead at Ibrox, playing very well, scoring a lot of goals. Steven Gerrard obviously coming out there and warning these players about what can happen in football, but it won't happen tonight at Ibrox. The big worry for our other Scottish team is at Pittodrie. Aberdeen, 2-0 down from the first leg, missing probably their best player just now, Cosgrove, and I think they will struggle. So Aberdeen need a big turnaround.
Now, the reaction to Tuesday night's defeat for Celtic, that's not the kind of thing you can complete in one night, so I'm sure we'll look back further on that disappointment as tonight's show progresses. But let's kick off with events at Ibrox. Rangers fans, how are you feeling ahead of kickoff? What about your team lineup suggestions? 0141 951 1025. Alison Conroy's there for us.
Yeah, Rangers, of course, have that 4-2 lead, but Steven Gerrard says there'll be no complacency from his players as he tries to secure the place in the Europa League playoffs alongside Celtic. He believes they're in the best possible form going into the match after that 6-1 win against Hibs at the weekend, and he stresses competition for places couldn't be any higher at the moment. They, of course, had that 3-0 lead in Denmark a week ago before Midtjylland made it 3-2. Scott Arfield added that crucial fourth or possibly crucial fourth away goal late on. Steven Gerrard says it has to be a nil-nil mentality going into the game here at Ibrox, believing tonight is also a good mental test for his players. Glenn Kamara could return for Rangers after being rested at the weekend. All quiet here at Ibrox, apart from all the Midtjylland players out on the pitch at the moment, taking all their photos on their phones as usual from visiting teams to Glasgow. Gordon.
0-0 mentality. Everything to play for. I want to see hungry players. I want to see a hungry performance. This team's had so much criticism over the past 14 months about not being consistent and taking the foot off the gas at important times. So good test to see where we are from a mental point of view. You know, I don't want to see a team very casual who thinks because they've got a 2-0 advantage that the job's done. That won't be the case. I don't think I've had to stress it because I think Midtjylland deserve respect, and I think the players after the game last week knew that at times Midtjylland caused us some problems. You can see they had a set piece threat throughout the game. We've got players that have got big profile, you know, they can win flick-ons and second balls and they carry a huge threat, so I think it'd be very immature and naive of us to think that this is done. We're expecting a very tough 90 minutes.
Going into a tie like this, when even a 2-0 defeat is enough to see you through, that, I mean, clearly a nice position to be in. Let me be clear about that. But in a strange way, does it make it difficult psychologically at all to?
But listen, I like what Steven Gerrard's saying. You know, he understands that Rangers don't have to go out and, you know, be flying right away and win the game. I think the supporters going along have to understand that as well. It may not be, you know, a classic to watch. Steven Gerrard would love to get an early goal and the tie's just dead right away, but I can't see them going all out because that'd be foolish. You know, you go all out, you lose a goal in the counter-attack, all of a sudden the ground becomes a wee bit nervy and things start going against you. You know, maybe that was Celtic's problem the other night. They were going out to try and win the game rather than just accepting that they were through. But Steven Gerrard understands where he is just now. Very comfortable position to be in. And the way Rangers are playing just now, you can't see them slipping up against Michelin. And saying that, in the first, we watched the first half in here last week, Michelin looked decent in the first half and Rangers got a goal at a very good time. And obviously the second half ran away with it, but they've still got decent players, so they will make it difficult at times at set pieces, at throw-ins like we saw last week. However, I still believe Rangers have got that mentality to see that out comfortably.
Is complacency Rangers' biggest threat tonight, Gordon?
No, I'd be the opposite. I know what Mark's saying. If it's a 1-1 like Celtic the other night there, I totally agree with that. But you're 4-2 up. Unthinkable to lose 3-0 tonight at Ibrox. You've already scored 4 against them, Gordon. And I know Mark is right. We watched them. They looked not bad in the first half. Morelos got that so important goal. But if to score 4 goals away from home, the way Rangers are playing, the crowd there tonight, the atmosphere, I would be more intent of saying go and get this game finished early. One goal kills it off. It is dead and buried, in my opinion, just now. But I think the way Rangers are playing, I don't think they know the style of saying, right, we'll sit sort of, we'll be cautious and we'll try and hit them the kick. I think Rangers will be in the front foot tonight. I think the Rangers manager demands that. And I think it'll be good enough. And I think they will get the goal that will just probably, Michelin players will probably, their heads will go down. They know the tie's finished. And I think Rangers will win this comfortably.
01419511025. That's the number you need to get in touch. Give us all your pre-match thoughts. How do you see the game going? Who should play? Who shouldn't play? What about Tuesday night's disappointment for Celtic as well? George is a Rangers fan from Motherwell. He's first up. Feeling confident, George?
I'm confident they can see the tie out over the 90 minutes, but I still think it's going to be a difficult game. The reason why, looking at the game the other night with Celtic, a lot of people kind of suggested, media, fans, that game was actually over and done with when Celtic got them back to Celtic Park. I just think that these European teams are more technically better than the kind of Scottish teams at the moment, especially in Europe, and it kind of sees that over the past few years. I think it will be a tough match. I think with Michelin being a big, strong side as well. I mean, if they had to get the first goal, maybe even a second goal, push the kind of pressure back on Rangers. I don't think Rangers will lose the tie overall, but I think it will be still a tough game. My other point is obviously to Mark and Gordon. It's regarding the Celtic match the other night, and one of your kind of colleagues in the scoreboard the other night said about, it was actually Mark Guidi, about, you shouldn't blame Neil Lennon for the result the other night, and also it's no Callum McGregor's fault. But I thought that it's a manager's downfall if he picks the wrong sides, and I mean, he lives by the results and dies by his results. So I don't know where Matt was coming from. I don't know if it's because he's friendly with Neil, or as used to be next managers, would used to have played your best midfielder in that position to suit a technician who's hardly kicked a ball this season or even last season?
Well, Mark probably would have. Me personally, I would. Thank you. I wouldn't have. I think that's just square pegs and round holes for me. I don't think it was necessary to do that. I can understand all the arguments about ball and golly, the way that I don't think Neil Lennon trusted them in a game like that. But you're taking away a massive strength of your team. I can understand it was to get in Cham in, but remember, this was a guy in Cham who I think is a very, very good player. Not that long ago, you thought he was going out the exit door. Neil Lennon had to talk him into staying at Celtic. I think you get your most important players in the right positions and then deal with that one position. And if you had to go with ball and golly, because you brought him into 3 million at a left back, that's his position, you had to go with him. To change everything round about, I thought was wrong.
I mean, Mark Wilson, you were standing here on Saturday saying you need to get Cham in that team. Whatever you need to do, you need to get him in. Mm-hmm. Is that what you would have done to get him in?
No, I would have put him in. I wouldn't have played that shape. I think Celtic had the personnel.
I do.
I know Mikey Johnson's not an out-and-out wing-back. I know James Forrest isn't an out-and-out wing-back. But they've played the role before, especially at Celtic Park going forward. You had the pace, El Hamid. You could have played at right centre-back. Ayer, you could have stuck at left centre back to cover those wide areas. In my opinion, I thought when I seen the team, because we saw the team pretty early, that's what I thought was happening. And you've got a very strong midfield, a Cham, McGregor and Brown in there, and Christy off Edward. That's the way I thought it when it came out. And Cal McGregor was left back. I was as short as everybody else.
Do you know what makes matters worse, Gordon? Just quickly, it's been tried before. They tried it with Brendan Rodgers at Ibrox and it was an absolute failure. Why do it again in a big game?
We are going to hear from Neil Lennon after the first break, so let's go back to tonight's game at Ibrox for the meantime. George, have you got any team lineup predicaments? Who do you think is going to be involved?
I would still go with the same kind of as maybe last week. Again, McGregor in the goals, same back four with Flanagan, Katic and Golson at the back as well. Same midfield. I would just go with the same. I'd probably put Morelos on up front. I think he's maybe he'll bully him a wee bit more than. But I said, I'd be pretty comfortable with the same team as we got the result over there. Maybe switching it with Morelos up front.
Gordon, is it fair to say Morelos will play up front tonight? And if that's the case, you know, it's Jermaine, thanks for your hat trick, but
this is for some of the older ones. I think Rangers could play me and Billy Urquhart up front tonight and still win this game. And I just think that they're comfortable, Gordon. I know what George is saying about Celtic the other night there, but it was different. Cluj only needed one goal, right? They could have sat nice and tight, but they didn't. Mark was at the game, they went after Celtic, they seen a weakness, and they eventually got their rewards. Whereas you look at Michelin coming, they need three goals without Rangers replying, right? So you're thinking if they're going to go after the three goals, they're certainly going to have bags of space and open spaces for Rangers at Ibrox with the way they're playing to cut them open and score goals.
And actually, Mark, might that suit Rangers? Because if you look back to last season, Rangers negotiated these qualifiers pretty well. Yeah. They look like they're doing it again this mm-hmm. season. Any criticism they've had before is usually when teams get everyone behind the ball and they have perhaps in the past struggled to break them down. Yeah. But in many ways, it looks like Europe suits Rangers. It looks like having teams come at them and be able to use Jordan Jones or whoever it is on the break. It looks like it suits Rangers.
It certainly does. This season, I don't know if Rangers will have that problem this season. I know we're only two games into our league season. However, they look more creative. They look more a threat. They look like they've got players who can break down defences sitting in. But you're right, the game suits Rangers. Listen, the Defoe and Morelos argument, I mean, what a problem we have for Steven Gerrard. You put one in, he scores a hat trick. You bring another one on, he scores two. You know, one will play tonight, and I'm pretty sure the other will play on Sunday when the game comes about. So it's great to have two strikers like that. Couldn't pick one for you.
I think he'll go with Defoe tonight and keep Morelos fresh for the weekend. There you go. That's a tip for you. If I'm wrong, then that's the first time this season.
I think he's going to be wrong. What do you think?
I think Morelos will play.
I've had a text from
Steven Gerrard.
Hold on. Did they not have a text last year?
Stevie G.
About Scott Brown. I'll never let him live that down. That Scott Brown one.
Bruni set me up there. Stevie G wouldn't do that.
Thank you, George and Motherwell. Gary's in Newton Mearns. Looking ahead to this one, Gary. Confident?
Yeah, really looking forward to the game. By the way, I don't mean to be offensive to Gordon, but I sincerely hope that him and Billy Urquhart will not be playing up tonight.
Good show, Gary.
Gary, can I ask you a question? If you had to play a lone striker, would you play me or Billy Urquhart?
The silence tells you all you need to know.
That's an all-time low for me.
I actually used to train with you at Parlors in the morning. I don't know if you remember, so I have to obviously say you.
Oh, Gary, yes, I do know who I'm talking to.
He loves the exercise bike, yeah. Gary. It's his favourite machine.
Gary, I guarantee you, doesn't he remember you?
I guarantee you.
What does he look like then?
He's not the best looking boy in the world, I've got to say. he was a bit chubby and had to get it. but he works very hard. How's the boys doing?
Yeah, all good. Thank you for asking. Cheers.
Glad
you're
here, boys. You too. I've got to go doors here. No, Gary, I've not seen you for a long while, and hope to catch up.
Anyway, enough of this Friends Reunited. Gary, give us your football thoughts tonight.
Okay, can I actually make the point I wanted to phone about? I know you're probably bored listening to this.
No.
But I'm really curious. As a great fan of our young man who we've not got back from Liverpool this season, and I know there's been so much talk about it, but I read an article today in the Express, I can't remember who it was by, and it basically said that they think there's a very good chance that Ryan Kent will come back to Rangers before the end of the window. Do any of you have any inside information or opinion on it?
Well, let's look at what's happened in the last couple of days. Andy King has closed in on a loan move to Rangers. He's a midfielder, so I'm not saying that impacts it as such. Steven Gerrard spoke yesterday, Mark, along the lines of, and I am paraphrasing, your business is done, but if a brilliant deal comes along, we would do it. Would that be the brilliant deal?
Of course
ultimately,
it would be.
Would it be the one player that they would probably go out and get regardless?
Of course it would be, Gordon, because...
I mean, he has added Brandon Barker last week as well to his already growing list of wingers.
Yeah, they're very, very strong in those areas just now. However, Ryan Kent is better than them all there just now. There's no doubt about that. And a couple of weeks ago, it looked dead. So when Steven Gerrard's saying if there's a bargain out there or a great bit of business to be done, in my opinion, there's still a glimmer of hope that Kent could be brought on loan. I mean, it must give Rangers fans that wee bit of enthusiasm and excitement that he didn't leave and there's nothing much happening with him because he's not going to break into the Liverpool first team. So there's always hope. It'll take a lot of work, but if the chance is there, there's no doubt in my mind that Rangers will go all out to get him because he was such an influence in games, and especially the big games against Celtic.
Gary, given the way Rangers have started the season, and you yourself, you're talking about being really optimistic, do you still feel like you need him the way that you perhaps felt a month ago?
Well, the bottom line is this. I think the team are playing brilliantly. I think things are going really, really well. But if I was the manager of Rangers after last season and I got the opportunity to get Ryan Kent back, I would be absolutely breaking the bank to do so. It's not a case of needing him, but I think it would give... Number one, I think the rest of the squad would get a massive lift. All the boys that played with him are well aware of his ability. I think he was absolutely loved at Rangers. I was there the last day of the season last year, the last home game. I think it was against Celtic maybe. And after the game they walked round and he did a solo walk round the whole ground and he got an absolute standing ovation. I think he would be a massive lift for everyone. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, ultimately, if a player is better than what you've got, you know, you go and get him. But Steven Gerrard talking about Andy King coming in, it's another midfielder. Mm-hmm. He now considers Scott Arfield an attacker. Mm-hmm. So add him to Brandon Barker, to Jake Hastie, to Jordan Jones, to Greg Stewart, to Shea Ojo. What a numbers game it would be if that did come off.
It'd be some competition. I'm sure every Rangers fan wouldn't bother about the numbers, Gordon. I think Gary's right. I think every Rangers fan would be over the moon if Ryan Kent come back. Very talented player. And it does give the manager a terrible headache who's going to play because Ojo looks not bad. The callers coming on here every night now talking about Jordan Jones's performance, settling into Rangers, how he's playing. Barker's come in, he'll probably play in the right hand side. But Kent gives him so much options as well, and he's such a clever player. So watch his space. I don't see it happening. Because I just think Rangers have got so many options now, and Barker,
they have though. But he's talking about Gerrard's yesterday talking about hopefully having 55 to 60 games. I mean,
so you've got to say players. I think he's over that.
He will have, but you know, to negotiate those games and be successful, you know, in the league, in the two cups, in Europe, you have to have a big squad to keep rotating. You know, when you're playing Thursday, Sunday,
the thing
you need
that
a big
worries
squad.
Me, Mark, and I know Klopp, the top manager, has come out and said, look, he's not going out on loan. So for Klopp to then somebody to come in and say, by the way, he's going back up to Rangers, he's sat there, he's played the waiting game.
Is that not just a...
Yeah, but what's the alternative now, though?
Was that not just a kind of a ruse to get someone to buy him? And it's not worked.
It's not worked. But I think, put it this way, if he does go to Rangers on loan, I'm sure that they'll have to pay a big loan fee for him.
All right, thank you, Gary. In Newton Mearns, it's 0141 951 1025 to join him. I think we do have team news from Ibrox. Alison Conroy? Not quite. There we go. We'll get team news after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dell are here as we approach kickoff between Rangers and Midtjylland at Ibrox. Still a bit to go, but the team lines are in. Remember, Gordon, adamant that it's Jermaine Defoe starting for Rangers tonight. So let's find out with Alison Conroy.
Gordon is 100% wrong. Jermaine Defoe is not starting tonight. It is Alfredo Morelos who will be in. It's three changes from that win against Hibs at the weekend. McGregor, of course, in goal. Then Tavernier, Goldson, Katic and Flanagan. Jack, Glenn Kamara coming back in, Davis, Ojo, Arfield and Morelos. The bench, Fodringham, Hollander, Barisic, Doherty, Aribo, Jones and Defoe. Morelos as well is on 9 European goals for Rangers. There are only 10 other players that have scored 10 or more European goals, so he'll be hungry for that 10th.
And Gordon DL is not one of them. I can't imagine. Neither is your pal Urquhart. He's not one either, is he?
No, a big Billy, no.
He did say to producer Andy, when Andy says, who do you think will start? And he went, listen, you don't get 15 years in management getting to cup finals and league cup finals being wrong. There you are.
I don't know what that manager's doing.
Now we know what the air chairman seen in you.
So 13-year contract.
Everyone else knew that Alfredo Morelos would start. Glenn Kamara's back in. Other than that, I don't think there's any real shocks or talking points, are there?
Yeah, good enough side. Arfield will play up top as well. I think Arfield's a terrific player, Gordon, I've got to say. I think this new position suits him. I watched him at Tynecastle last season and he was absolutely brilliant. His runs are... He's got so much experience and he knows the timing of the runs, when to, you know, get into the positions, and he scores goals as well. So he's a big player for him. But I think that's a good enough, strong enough team to take care of business tonight.
Okay, Neil Lennon's...
I still think Defoe should play.
Neil Lennon says they all must take responsibility for Celtic's Champions League exit. Steven Gerrard, who is of course in action tonight, speaking yesterday, warning his players of what can happen. Pointing back to that Celtic game, things can clearly go wrong. Rangers are in a comfortable position, but here's what Neil Lennon had to say after crashing out to Cluj on Tuesday.
We all wanted Champions League football, and we've only ourselves to blame for not getting that. You know, we've been loose, you know, when really in the important moments of the game we've switched off. You know, they're bitterly disappointed, you know, so as you can imagine, but they've missed out on a good opportunity there. We all have. So it's a collective responsibility. We had more enough quality out there to win the game, but, you know, over the 2 days. You know, we conceded a poor goal on the counter-attack, you know, away from home. And I thought we could add a couple more away from home as well. But certainly in the second half, you know, we had good chances and we didn't take them. And that would have put the game beyond Cluj.
01419511025. That's the number Stephen in Partick has dialed. Stephen, you've had a couple of days to calm down. How are you feeling looking back on that exit from the Champions League?
I'm okay now, but what annoys me is Neil Lennon's naivety. When you look back at the late, great Brian Clough always, one of the first things he did was he would actually organise a good defence. And his defence was the full of biting bars. And he admitted that. He got Larry Lloyd and Kenny Burns. And he always said they were never Celtic football players. But one thing about Clough was he knew if an attacking side came through, they were through upon a couple of real thugs. And I use that term loosely. But Neil Lennon needs to realise that there's no point in having four betting bars in defence of attacking sides get through. They're like, oh, wait a minute, these are a bunch of silky football players, but we're going to break them down. And it was absolutely criminal on Tuesday night when they put Calmack to left back. That's a silky young football player. He ain't no defender. And Neil Lennon really needs to wake up and smell the coffee. I would rather have four thugs from the Junior League playing at back for Celtic, because when attack, it doesn't matter how good European sides are, if they're coming up against four big, hard, hard Scots guys, they're going to go, oh, wait a minute here. These guys are... Look at big Bobo Baldy. Mm-hmm. If you're coming up against him, you're going to go, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, but he was still a good defender, Stephen. Just because you're hard doesn't mean, you know, you mentioned the word thug. And yeah. You still need to be pretty good at what you're doing.
Listen, I think, Stephen, I think when you look at Chris Iyer, Simonovic, they're big boys. Chris Iyer in particular is one who loves to defend. You see the way he celebrates when he makes tackles and he's tough to play against.
Yeah.
However, the problem was the other night, it's a chopping and changing. You know, it's not allowing anybody to form any sort of relationships. You know, Callum McGregor, Everybody could see it, 45 minutes. I mean, even on the ball, he struggled. Yeah. And I think he was put in the team because Neil thought Celtic would have a lot of possession and he wanted to control the ball for long periods of time. And it just so happened that one of Celtic's more comfortable players in the ball had an absolute nightmare. If you think about it, Kyle McGregor in centre midfield, he's got the full park either side of him to pick passes. When he plays at left back, one side of the park is closed off to him because he's practically on the touchline, so he can only ever come inside, and it's foreign to him, and it showed, and it backfired because Celtic continued to lose possession in that position the first 45 minutes, and then they get done at the goal in that position as well. But yeah. I mean, the other three guys, you know, El Hamid, Simunovic and Ayer, you've got to agree that they're good defenders. On the night, defensively, they were poor. To lose four goals, there's no escaping that. But those three guys are good defenders. The problem lies in the recruitment of getting that left back in. It was left too late in the window, and when they've now got Bolingoli, who may prove, he may prove in time to be decent. However,
is it really,
you need
that,
to be sure.
Is it really that late in the window? I mean, we've still got 2 weeks to go. And when was Bolingoli signed? A good few weeks before this game. So how was that too late?
Too late in the window. Listen, I was at Celtic Park with the Sarajevo game, and I made the point when Chris Ayer was playing at right back and Celtic didn't, Bolingoli was in at that point, I'm not quite sure, but I made the point that these players should have been brought in with these Champions League qualifiers in mind. I says the first round qualifier, you can get away with it because it's easy enough. It didn't prove that easy against Sarajevo, but Celtic scraped through. The second round, perhaps you can get through it.
Bolingoli signed on the 3rd of July, though, and the window doesn't close till the end of this month.
Do you know what's
strange? Yeah, but what I mean is, he was the only one brought in. I know Tierney was still kicking about, but they must have known that a bid was going to come in. So you've got one left back.
Right. Celtic knew way back in March or April that Kieran Tierney was probably going to leave. They should have been doing their homework way back then. But so why did they leave it to the last minute? I really don't understand that.
They didn't leave it to the last minute. Gordon's just said they brought Bolingoli in.
What I was meaning is, they brought Bolingoli in. Yeah. But they've only got one left back. They needed two left backs if Tierney was going to go. They need two right backs, and they've still not sorted that out. Mm-hmm. So that's last minute. I tell you what, it's worse than last minute because it's past now.
But Gordon's right, they've still got 2 weeks to address that, Mark. And
but they've not got 2 weeks to address it. The Champions League is gone.
I know that, but Bolingoli was probably brought. Now remember, this was a guy, let's not forget something, this was a guy they paid £3 million for. Yeah. So if you're paying £3 million a Scottish club, you're thinking, he'll do me for opening rounds of the Champions League. You've got to. Secondly,
so where does the blame lie then? On the player, on the recruitment staff?
Wait, you'll hear my point, Gordon, right? This is, nobody will shoot me down this one. Right.
Don't be so sure.
Secondly, they played McGregor at left back the other night. The away leg at Cluj is probably the hardest to go and get the result, to bring it back to Celtic Park. Who played left back in Cluj?
Go on, tell us.
McGregor. No, Bolingoli, right? He had a poor game in the first half against Motherwell. We all admit that, and everybody was giving a bit of stick. But he's
had a poor game in Cluj as well.
They still get the result, Mark.
But
hold on a minute. They had the balance to the team.
Yeah.
The balance to the team was everything.
If you've got Bolingoli in,
round holes don't work.
But that's what I'm saying. If you've got Bolingoli in, fair enough, and he plays, and Neil must have thought he's not good enough. If that's a problem, you put your other left back in that you've got, and the balance isn't upset. The problem is the recruitment, because you only get one left back in. And you're left with nothing. You either got McGregor or you got Johnny Hayes, or like I was saying, you're playing Mikey Johnson wing back, and it's all wrong. So you've got to put it down to how late they've brought these players in. And like I say, right back is still a problem because they've still only got one real recognised right back, because Ralston looks out the picture. So it's still ongoing. But now the moment's passed, the Champions League's gone, and it's too late.
Thanks to Stephen and Partick. Let's see what John in Liverpool's got to add. Hi, John.
Hi there, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Well, what you're concerned, not saying it's Boy McGregor, man, you put it right back and all that. But to me, you take him out midway apart and you put Christie in there. You know what I mean? They're two of the main stays. They're a creative midfielder. Brown's more holding man. But why? Why we see two up,
why didn't you put on Julian? You know what I mean? Sling five across the back and then just what they do, kick the ball out of the park. As your youth pundits say, they kick them and get down and all the rest of it. Now, Neil Lennon, that's Neil Lennon's problem. Neil Lennon's not got any answer for that, has he? I'd like to know what you think about that.
Well, I think probably Neil looking back at it, if he had a chance again, he would probably do.
It, you know what I mean? He's got dinner on the night.
He would do something different.
Do you not agree with me? Do you not agree with me?
Yeah, I do agree with you because the tie is one. You know, it's you're sitting there and you've got a feeling this is a real difficult. We can't afford to lose another goal. So shut up shop somewhere. You've got to make it tight. Bring them on to you. Then with the pace that you've got, you can go and hit them the counter attack and hopefully finish the game off. Mark was at the game. I wasn't there, so he witnessed it firsthand. He was texting me constantly saying, "This is what I would do if I was a Celtic manager." But I do agree, John, that I think Celtic looking back
when,
should
is this
have
when
probably
Celtic went 3-2 up.
3-2 up.
I mean, was it not only 2 minutes between? Yeah, granted, I know you're probably going to come back and say, "Well, managers need to make split-second decisions." I get that, but I think the equaliser to make it 3-3. Was that not about 3 minutes later?
I mean, the goals were coming thick and fast at that point. The one that, I mean, I was looking at it, the one that struck me was perhaps in Cham looked a bit leggy at that point, you know, and I thought Beaton there, even if you put him in, you know, in front of your centre halves and just, well, we all know what Near Beaton does, breaks up the play and just calms things down. That's the one I was thinking, but Gordon's right here. I mean, Neil Lennon probably looks back on it now and goes, there's a million different ways to go about it. It's easy for us here in the studio, easy for the supporters. But at that time at 3-2, everybody was caught up in the stadium. Everybody was caught up in the euphoria. The atmosphere was bound. No. I looked at that point that Celtic were going to run away with it. But, John, I disagree with you.
Mark,
I think you're right. You know.
No, Mark, if you're a manager, you see it. You're 3-2 up. And you see you only scored about 3 minutes after that. But why? When you make a substitution right away, that's three minutes right away, isn't it? So they're not going to score a goal right away, are they?
Yeah.
So why does Neil Lennon not see that? Can Neil Lennon not see that? Is he not getting now they're Ryan Christie come on and says they're not streetwise. Now that's a young boy that says we're not streetwise. So how can Neil Lennon not say we're not streetwise? He is streetwise. So how can he not see that?
Well, listen, I totally believe that Neil would have analysed that game and thought, maybe along similar lines to what you're saying, John, what we are saying, I should have made a substitution. Maybe as.
Yeah, so why not do it? Because let's be honest, it's not real comfort to anyone to realise it 2 days later.
Exactly. Well, I can't tell you that. I'm not Neil Lennon. You know, why not do it? We're all sitting here, you know, we're all experts and saying, you know, even me up in the stand going, and Cham looks a bit leggy. When you're done that touchline and you're caught up with it, maybe Neil just didn't see it panning out that way.
Stephen's on Twitter at Clyde SSB. He says Lennon is to blame for Tuesday. He changed three of the back four from Saturday, and McGregor at left back was at fault for the first goal. And Andrew Connor says there were four defensive changes made from the Motherwell game for Cluj. Lennon thinking that wouldn't cause an issue is negligence in the extreme. I mean, on one hand, any type of chopping and changing in defence is
unsettling.
Yeah. But I don't think many Celtic fans prior to kickoff would have kept Julian in, would they?
No, I think the biggest problem, I think what's sort of swayed Neil was we all watched the game. I was at Fir Park with Alison for Super Scoreboard. We watched the game and you could tell that the back four, especially early doors when Motherwell were putting a lot of press on them, they were sort of looked a bit nervy. You know, Ayer's not a right back. You've got to get him in the middle. I totally agree with that. Julian looked a bit nervous for a £7 million player, but he's only arrived and he needs time to grow into the Scottish game. I could understand, and Bolingoli, as we keep touching on, that everybody was on his back, everybody was talking about it. I think Neil had to come out and his presser after it and sort of defend the boy, which quite rightly he should. And I think that sort of swayed Neil Lennon's judgment for Tuesday night, Gordon. I think looking back in it now, I think he should have, yeah, I would agree with Julian being out and Ayer being in and El Hamid at right back because Julian's still a bit to catch up. But I was still, would have went with the boy that played over against them, Cluj.
Okay, thank you, John. In Liverpool, it's 0141 951 1025. More thoughts on that Celtic defeat, I'm sure. And Rangers fans, 1 hour to kick off. Maybe you're on your way to the game, maybe you're just settling down to watch it. You've heard the teams, you've heard Alfredo Morelos leads the line, Glenn Kamara comes back into the midfield. How do you see tonight's game going? We'll take your call after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. 1 hour to kick off at Ibrox. Rangers take that 4-2 lead into the second leg of that Europa League qualifier against Midtjylland. Legia Warsaw lying in wait. Should Rangers do the business tonight? Lots of response to Celtic's Champions League disappointment on Twitter. Stephen says Neil Lennon's always had a problem with game management. Celtic first time, Hibs Celtic again, doesn't know how to close out a tight game when ahead. Very worrying. And Skinbag says surely Bolly is more suited to a more technical game like European opposition, therefore it makes the manager's decision even more baffling. 0141 951 1025. Joe is a Rangers fan from Somerset. Let's kick off by looking ahead to tonight's game. Joe, are you feeling in confident mood with an hour to go?
Yeah, feeling very comfortable. Can't see you getting beat Melon 3-0 at Ibrox.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the starting 11, Joe, so much competition for place, particularly in midfield. What do you make of that team tonight? Would you have done anything different?
See, tell the truth, I don't even actually know the team, because I'm on my way to Ibrox now, so I've not even had a chance to look.
Gordon DL, will you rhyme off from memory for Joe?
Yeah. McGregor and goals.
Right.
Tavernier, Colston, Cattage and Flanagan. Midfield three of Jack, Kamara and somebody else. Ojo wide left. Arfield and Morelos.
Mark,
and
fill in the missing man.
Davis.
There we go.
Top punditry there.
There you are, Joe. So no real surprises, Joe. Kamara's come back in. It's the same back four. Morelos leads the line. Comfortable with that?
Not really. I thought Aribo would have started tonight.
All right, Aribo. Yeah, I know he's been a popular one, Mark, but Stephen Gerrard certainly feels that he's got, I think, what is it he said, that he's got five midfielders. He's now adding Andy King. He feels as if he's about to have two for every position.
Great position to be in. When you're bringing in Kamara, you know, and you've got Jack and Davis in there, that's a strong three. Aribo, very good, looks very good. However, he's not going to play every single game when you've got that many midfields to choose from. So is Harley weakening?
Still early in the season, but to keep changing your team, it's just like Gala Knight.
I think you can get away with it, Joe, in midfield. You don't think so? Where you've got that quality.
Does he really bother me, Kamara coming in, man? He's been a heavy steal, man, 50 grand for him. He's been a steal, but also Haribo's been. Truthfully, I can't see the guy being with us longer than a year. The guy's frightening, man. He's touching that. He's confident as heck on the ball in that, in the middle of the park.
Yeah, he's really hit the ground running, Gordon. In fact, I know a lot of people down south questioned the move up here, said he shouldn't be coming up here, and he gets himself a call up to the Nigeria squad after a couple of weeks. So he's clearly paying off so far.
Yeah, and he looks a lad that's enjoying his football, Gordon. Very talented player. You could see early on in his Ibrox career, doesn't give the ball away cheaply. Very good on it. Can score a goal. I just think it's a case of managing the squad. I think that's a good enough team tonight. As I say, Midtjylland would have to score three. I don't see that happening without Rangers scoring. So I think they've got enough tonight in their locker. And plus the fact, the one thing that the manager always wanted was, if there's any problems or it was slack or the pace wasn't up to what he expected, he had the bench to look to.
Joe.
I know Rangers isn't that in Celtic and then the best league in the world, but see, we have a manager like Steven Gerrard at your club. Any of the top best midfielders in the world do want to play for him, because the guy was phenomenal as a player himself. It's just like anybody, like, if it's a good manager, like a good player that's been a player and it's a bit of a legend, all the young boys from England are going to want to play for him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about any midfielder in the world, but Joe's probably onto something. Say there's not a lot in it. Say you've got a couple of options where, I don't know, the money's similar, the level's similar, but you've then got the chance to play under someone like that. Surely it would add something. I mean, we know that good players don't make good managers automatically, but it must come into the thinking.
It's an attraction, Gordon. Yeah. You've got to say he's an attraction. Would you have went to Celtic because of Gordon Strachan?
No, it's because they were paying me more money than I wanted to play for Celtic. Didn't matter who the manager was. I always wanted to play for I get what you mean. No, Steven Gerrard, he is an attraction. You're right. You know, his role as captain of Liverpool for so many years, you've seen what he brought out in players on the park. So if you're a young player, you've got to look at that and think, he must do that as a manager, you know, even to more extent.
Joe, what else is on your mind?
Just listening to the guy, man, I get goosebumps.
Is that Martin you're talking about? Or?
Thanks, Joe.
No, that's Stevie.
Joe, I think, did you have another point before we let you go?
It was just to ask Mark his opinion. See, also, you were a left back or a right back. I'm not really too sure. I don't know. Right back. But see, if you were sitting in that changing room, obviously just being brought in for £3 million, it's a big fee for a Scottish club. Yeah. And you're getting picked arguably the best midfielder Celtic have got. The guy gives you everything in big games, he scores goals, and he creates the spark for the strikers. Would you not be raging? Also getting left at that squad for a centre, your best centre mid?
Of course I would. I think any player would.
Does that, you know, is that the type of thing that comes into your thinking? Because if it was a change in shape and you say, right, well, fair enough, I'm, you know, miss out, or you do have a rival for that position, but if someone who isn't even a recognised left back goes in front of you, is that a message to you?
I can only speak about me personally. If that was me and someone was playing ahead of me that wasn't their natural position, yeah, I would dent my confidence. I wouldn't be happy at that. I would look at myself and think, obviously there's a reason why. However, of course you're not happy, because it's you know, like, what was you saying, square pegs and round holes or whatever rubbish.
Just so we're clear, that's not his saying. It's definitely not his saying.
It was rubbish anyway.
I've definitely heard that before.
However, I brought that to the table tonight.
Listen, very good. But no, of course you would be. Anyone would be if somebody replaces you that isn't their natural job in any workplace. So yep, I would be.
I'm actually glad Joe mentioned that, because just before we came on air tonight, Mark, you were telling us about one time that you received recognition from one of the world's finest fullbacks. from one world class fullback to another. And I wondered if you would just share that with the class, because I quite liked it when you told us earlier before we came on air.
You can't tell anything in the office without it coming up.
Go.
I was on the bench for Scotland against Brazil at the Emirates, and I was, I think, one of only two or three not to get on. So I was raging. Anyway, go on the dressing room after the game, and we're sitting there, and all the players have swapped jerseys apart from me, because I didn't get on the park, obviously. And in comes the kit man, the Brazil kit man, and hands Danny Alves his strip to the Scotland kit man. Danny Alves wants to swap, so he comes in, the kit man says, anybody want to swap Danny Alves' strip? And everyone's busy, occupied, doing other things. Nobody says anything. So I'm sitting there, and I says, well, I'll take it. Okay.
Wow.
So I gave my strip, which was number 23, I think. There you go.
The excitement in that Brazil dressing room. I know. Wondering which strip's coming.
Danny Alves is going to come in. Danny Alves is thinking, where am I going to put it in the house?
Exactly. So I give him my strip. I get Danny Alves. Brilliant. Start getting changed.
Did that make up for it a bit? Because you hadn't got on, but you've come away with Danny Alves' strip.
I was fuming that I didn't go on, and I was thinking, I'd been away at Le Mans all week, and it was a long 10 days away, and I was thinking, brilliant, at least I get something out. 5 minutes later, Catman comes in and says, listen, Danny doesn't want this. He wants Sunday to actually play. Can I have the strip back? God's honest truth. I can hand back Danny Alves' strip and take my own number 23 back.
No, the picture I've got in my head.
I'm
standing in the dressing room having to take the Danny Alves strip off.
Didn't want it anyway.
And the story ends with the fact that Mark didn't get on and come home with his own strap, and he's still got it to this day. So if anybody out there wants 23 Wilson, exactly, please let us
know. You can bid for it for cash for kids. Right, I think we'll leave that one there.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, it's Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to win a signed ball. We can't promise you a Danny Alves strip, but we'll give you a signed ball if you beat Mark Wilson or Gordon DL. The time is now to give us a call. 0141 951 1025. That's 0141 951 1025. And you have to act fast, because the lines close when the news starts at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompsons.com.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. 45 minutes until kickoff between Rangers and Midtjylland in the Europa League qualifiers. Aberdeen playing Rijeka as well, looking to overturn that 2-0 deficit. We're going to go to Pittodrie after we play Beat the Pundit. So keep your calls coming in. 01419511025. We did kick off looking ahead to the game at Ibrox. It's only day two after Celtic's Champions League disappointment, so still plenty of reaction coming back on that front as well. Pete the Pundit contestants just disappeared. So producer Andy's going to try and get him back. We've actually had a £20 bid in from Pad for the Wilson shirt.
Really?
Cash for kids. Yeah, just before the news, we were talking about Danny Alves, who once swapped shirts with Mark Wilson and gave him it back because he just wasn't happy at all. So yeah, Pad Ferran, £20 for the Wilson shirt.
20 quid,
so far, yeah.
Well, he's gone too high.
Cash for kids.
Actually,
he's giving it for a fiver.
It's a steal.
It certainly is. Right, I think we can do this. It's time.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, Beat the Pundit time. One of the highlights of the night, one of the highlights of the week, when Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are involved. Paul's a Celtic fan from Huggenfield. Hi, Paul.
Hiya.
How are you tonight? You fancy your chances?
Depends if I get Mark Wilson or not.
Oh, they're all running frightened.
Oh, Paul,
me now.
Paul, come on. What's that supposed to mean?
Well, what do you think it means?
Well, my record was actually good last year, but I lost last week, I think, did I? So
yeah,
he panicked last week, didn't he? His face went that red way, like it always is.
I hope it is me, Paul.
Right, heads it is Mark Wilson, tails it's Gordon DL. It's tails. Mark Wilson will have to wait for another day.
I'm going
you're
lucky,
Paul. It's Gordon DL against Paul, the Celtic fan in Huggenfield. Let me give Gordon some Clyde 2 in his ear. That way he can't hear us, Paul. 30 seconds on the clock. Head to head, you can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yep.
What's the current aggregate score between Rangers and Midtjylland?
4-2.
What stadium do Edinburgh City currently play at?
Pass.
Which club did Billy Stark play with on two separate occasions?
Dundee.
Who was the last English manager of Celtic?
Tony Mowbray.
What year was Helicopter Sunday?
2004.
Who was the last English team that Gordon Strachan managed?
Middlesbrough.
Ryan Porteous is a defender for which Scottish team?
Hamilton.
Okay, let's bring Gordon Dale back. Gordon, can you hear us?
Yes.
Good, same set of questions to you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Right, let's do it. What is the current aggregate score between Rangers and Midtjylland?
4-2.
What stadium do Edinburgh City currently play at?
Meadowbank.
Which club did Billy Stark play with on two separate occasions?
Man.
Who was the last English manager of Celtic?
Pass.
In what year was Helicopter Sunday?
2006.
Who was the last English team Gordon Strachan managed?
Sunderland.
And Ryan Porteous is a defender for which Scottish team?
Ryan Porteous, big defender.
Quick.
Hamilton.
Okay.
Don't know.
Hamilton, he said.
Quite
now, Paul, you thought Paul, you thought that playing against Mark Wilson gave you the best chance. You've just heard Gordon DL. How do you rate your chances now?
I don't know.
Well, let's find out. What is the current aggregate score between Rangers and Midtjylland? It's 4-2. You both got it right. I thought we're off to an absolute flyer here because these guys clearly know their stuff. What stadium do Edinburgh City currently play at? It's Ainslie Park.
Where's that?
Edinburgh.
Well, it's in Edinburgh. The home of... Well, it's Spartans, I think, is where they... which club did Billy Stark play with on two separate occasions? It was Kilmarnock. So you both are stuck on one all.
Good game,
Who is the last English manager of Celtic? It was Tony Mowbray. Paul knew it, and you didn't. So Paul goes into a 2-1...
he never played me.
He goes into a 2-1 lead. In what year was Helicopter Sunday? You were both close, but you were both wrong. 2005.
Oh, no.
I mean, I understand Paul's sort of been trying to forget about it, but you've got no excuse. Who was the last English team Gordon Strachan managed? It was Middlesbrough. You didn't know it, Paul.
I said Middlesbrough.
No, you didn't. You said Sunderland.
You said Sunderland.
Middlesbrough.
You definitely said Sunderland.
Producer Andy, give us the steward's inquiry.
definitely Sunderland.
No, I did not.
Sunderland.
And they get that clip looked out. We're going to play it back. And Ryan Porteous, you both went for Hamilton, bizarrely. He's a Hibs defender. You should know that.
Young lad.
Three for Paul and one for Gordon.
Oh,
how three for Paul?
Gordon Dale's first loss of the year.
It certainly is, Paul, and you're the man.
Can I tell Mark Wilson not to sign the ball either? Because I only want people who took him part in the game to be getting me a signature.
Poor innings. 484 as well. I was flying.
Well done, Paul. We'll get Mark to sign it in pencil and you can rub it off if you want, all right?
Yeah.
Good man. Paul and Huggenfield, he's a winner and beat the pundit. You've had an absolute mare.
I've not covered him.
I genuinely got seven there. So Paul would have been
beaten seven.
Doesn't count when you're not taking part.
Believe. Sunderland.
I said Middlesbrough.
You didn't.
I did.
You said Sunderland.
Did I? The colour of the strip. Right.
Do you know the good thing is that it
I was down it, that way anyway.
It wouldn't be the first time that Mark Wilson and I were wrong, so Twitter will tell us. Twitter will be on it straight away. I'm sure of it. I'm absolutely sure
you said Sunderland as well.
But I meant Middlesbrough and I knew Tony Mowbray. Is that a 3-3?
No. Sean is on Twitter already. Says, since you give Roger Hannah a minus one, I think you need to start giving out a plus one.
Hold on a minute. One bad game.
He said to me at the golf yesterday, did he win? I won again. I beat the pundit on Tuesday. I went, oh, I didn't hear. He says, I'm going to have to actually be like Roger now. They're going to have to give me a minus. One right. One out of seven.
I've had a bad one.
He loves bragging. If I don't hear the show on the Tuesday, he loves bragging at the golf on the Wednesday. Brilliant.
Right, okay.
I did say Middlesbrough, didn't I?
We've got the Stewards Inquiry right here for you. That's how quick producer Andy is. He's got the clip for us already. So you're standing by it. You say
Middlesbrough.
You believe you said Middlesbrough when we played. Yeah?
Yeah.
Who was the last English team Gordon Strachan managed?
Sunderland. That's not me.
Does that sound like Middlesbrough to you, Mark Wilson?
That's been dubbed.
I love that. Last English team Gordon Strachan managed?
Sunderland.
Definitely said Sunderland. Sorry, well done to Paul. He's a winner.
Well done,
and the sign ball is
but
on its way.
They're still lost 3-2 anyway.
Exactly, so it doesn't matter. We've got Paul and Crookston up next, but let's go to Pittodrie because we've got another big game in European qualification tonight. A big ask for Aberdeen, Dave Galloway.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Gordon. Well, the Dons have only overturned a 2-0 first leg defeat in Europe once before in their history, and that was way back in 1984 against Vipers Doza of Hungary. A strong start is essential for Aberdeen, and an early goal would be ideal, but they can't afford to concede to the Croatians, or a difficult task could become impossible. Now, top scorer Sam Cosgrove, the big news, had already been ruled out with a hamstring injury, but he starts the game and will lead the attack for Denny McInnes' men, for whom a promising start to the season has been tarnished somewhat by two successive defeats to Rijeka last week, then St Mirren on Sunday. Aberdeen make four changes from that one at the weekend. Out go Viner, Wright, McLennan and Main. In come Logan, McGinn, Cosgrove and Gallagher. So it's Joe Lewis in goals. Across the back, Shea Logan, Andy Considine, Scott McKenna and Greg Lee. Funzo Ojo sitting in front of the back four. Then it's Ryan Hedges, Lewis Ferguson, John Gallagher and now McGinn with Sam Cosgrove up top. The substitutes, Cherney, Devlin, Wilson, Main, McLennan, Campbell and Viner. No fewer than six changes for Rijeka. The men coming in are Kiverzic, Halilovic, Zuparic, Longkar, Kapan and Kolak. Out go Escoval, Shmolok, Pavicic, Iglesias, Muric and Buzenja. So they will line up the Croatians with a starting 11 of Andrej Piskalo in goals. Then the outfield players are Roberto Puncic, Ivan Lepejica, Zoran Kiverzic, Tibor Halilovic, Dario Zuparic, Maxwell Acosti, Antonio Kolak, Momsilo Raspopovic, Luka Kapan and Stjepan Longkar. The substitutes for the visitors tonight, Pandur, Velkoski, Vuk Muric, Escoval, Iglesias and Smolcic. And your match referee here at a gloriously sunny Podori Stadium, he's an Austrian, he is Harold Lechner.
Would you just give us that Rieger?
Not a chance, there's not a chance.
Give us the six changes again.
There's not a chance of that happening.
Dave Galloway.
No way.
Superb. Can you imagine Gordon Dalziel trying to read out that Rieger team?
It took a lot of practice.
Well done, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Thank Top you. Man. There we go. And I tell you what, as far as team news goes, I tell you what I can pronounce. Sam Cosgrove. Is that about the old mind games from Derek McInnes? I mean, he ruled him out.
Well, we said in the programme, I thought he was out because I thought, right, it's got to be an uphill battle.
We said it because Derek McInnes
said it. Yeah, and obviously he's just decided, you know, I'll try and do a little bit of mind games here. It's a big.
The thing is, he's got to be fully fit because this early in the season,
you can't risk a hamstring injury
on this European game. I get it that it's important for Aberdeen to be in Europe, but there's a long season ahead where Aberdeen have to try and consolidate third place again. So to risk your main striker, he's got to be 100% fit.
Yeah.
Brilliant news anyway. Well, assuming he's fit. But
great.
If you're an Aberdeen fan going along to the game and you hear Dave Galloway's brilliant pronunciations and you hear that Sam Cosgrove's back in, you'll be absolutely delighted, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and you'd be delighted they've made six changes and the six changes that Dave mentioned there.
Can you give us some of them?
No. And Glazios is one of them. He's on the pine. I've got to say, Cosgrove is a big plus, not just for the supporters, but see for your teammates as well, Gordon. If your best players are playing and your goal scorer's playing, who's in form, you think, we've got a decent chance here. So I think that's a big plus for Aberdeen. I still don't see them going through, by the way.
Here's Derek McInnes.
I'm certainly not looking at this as an impossible task. We'll try and get the game going our way. We have to go and ask the question. We need to plant the seed that it's not going to be, they're not going to get things all their own way. But we're also aware that they have a good counter-attacking threat. They're an athletic team. They've got good individual players. And we are going to have to be mindful of that as well. And I think our supporters will understand that. But the supporters need to see a team tomorrow with the intention of going and reversing this and getting after them, and that's the type of team I want us to be. Hopefully the goals come as a consequence of that. You know, I think you see Rijeka's game at the weekend, similar to ourselves, rested a few players, travelling for them. I think last Thursday took a lot out of both teams. It was although there wasn't a lot of penalty box action in the game, a lot of the work was done between both boxes. We need to make sure there's a bit more activity in their box.
Gordon Dalziel's writing Aberdeen off, Mark. Sam Cosgrove or not, he doesn't think they can do it.
It'll be difficult, but I mean, they've given themselves every chance. You look at the four behind them as well. You know, very good attacking players. Hedges started quite well. McGinn been there and done it. You know, can supply for Cosgrove. Gallagher in there as well. So listen, I'm going to give them a chance. If they get a goal in the first half, you know, anything's possible. Important though, as it always is in Europe, to keep it tight at the back. Don't lose anything, but get a goal before 45,
What happens if they get 0-0?
Then have to score two.
Can early goal.
That's
honestly cutting edge analysis as always. Paul in Crookston, a Rangers fan on the line. What's on your mind tonight, Paul?
Hi Gordon. Hello. Hi Mushroom. Listen, I wish Gordon had that performance. We beat the pundit when I played him on Tuesday.
Were you playing on Tuesday, Paul? He was all right on Tuesday. He was hopeless tonight, wasn't he?
Oh, I know. But there you go.
That's the luck of the draw. You're right,
Paul. You just have these off nights, and that's what happened to me. And I'll be back in the saddle.
Aye. Right. My two. Well, I had a main point, but just touching upon listening to your show and the Celtic Inquiry about their performance, I just thought I'd throw my tuppence worth in there. Last year, well, Brendan Rodgers made a fatal mistake as well, playing McGregor at left back. I think, well, this is quite a simple issue. I think there's a bit of discontent in paradise, because for you to play a strong midfielder at left back by two managers, Rodgers and Lennon's obviously seen what happened the last time at Ibrox. I mean, he's a smart guy. Surely to me, in my personal opinion, and talking to some Celtic fans as well, that's sending a clear message to certain people on the board, maybe Peter Lawwell, that these players that have been brought in, left-back Bolingoli, they simply aren't rated. So whether that's recruitment in the sense of the guy's taking over Lee Congerton, he's only there on a consultancy basis, you know. So but that's just my topic.
I know what you're saying, Paul, but the thing is, this was a huge game for Celtic, and it does Neil Lennon all sorts of damage to his reputation by losing it. So you're not going to do that just to send a message, surely, if it reduces your chances of winning the game.
Why would you do it then? Because why would you leave a natural left back on the bench when you would play one of your strongest midfielders at left back? It doesn't make sense to me, to be honest. But yeah, fair enough. I take your point that why would you put your reputation line? But Rodgers did it. He's did it.
Paul's obviously right. I'm not saying it was a good idea. What I'm saying is you can have a judgment error without, you know, doing it to try and, they clearly thought it was a good idea, and hindsight's told us that it wasn't.
Well, what I was going to say is a wee bit of both. He wouldn't have set out intentionally to say, listen, I'm going to play McGregor here, to just send a message. But in not playing him, he's let everyone, you know, an insight into his thinking about Ballingolly that he couldn't be trusted in that size of game. At this minute in time, he doesn't think Ballingolly is good enough for that occasion. So it is sending a message that if it was Neil, but I don't know if it was Neil that brought him in, but whoever's brought him in, that it's not a right signing for that position for this minute in time. Again, he may get better, but just now Celtic needed someone that they could rely on at left back. They needed someone, and that's why I go back to my point earlier. They needed two. One doesn't work out, you've always got the other.
Gordon, listen, we know the way modern football works. It's no big drama. People like to sort of act like it's the end of the world, but it's no big drama to have someone in your recruitment staff or a director of football or whatever play a major role in identifying a player. That's just what happens all over the place. However, does it raise question marks about the involvement of Neil Lennon in that signing? If he was fully behind Ballingolly, would that have made him more likely to play him in the game? Listen, this, you may say it's got nothing to do with it, but surely the question has to be asked.
Yeah, modern day game, you just look at a Spurs manager who got to Champions League final not that long ago, come out and said, look, I'm not in charge of picking the players. Mm-hmm. I coach them. I'm a coach. Now, you can flip this coin here by saying, well, Neil was making a statement to the board, right? Which I don't think he was. But if Neil had signed these two players, now remember, there's £10 million worth of defenders on your bench. If you're a board member, I would be asking the question, how we spent £10 million in two players and the biggest game of the season that we're trying to get through to get the big money and they're sitting on the bench. So I don't know what's going on there, who's in charge of the signings and what's happening.
Just quickly before we get back to the football, I'll do my best Amber impersonation. She's up the road, but we've got a bit of a problem I should say, on the M74 joining the M8. It's backed up to Rutherglen. Very, very slow traffic towards Ibrox. So not only we've got football traffic, but Andra has been on Twitter. He sent a picture of a car on fire at Tradeston. So please do take care. It will be busier than usual due to a combination of that incident and the football traffic as well. So take care if you're heading towards Ibrox this evening. Paul, what about your own team then? Potentially closing in on a new signing as well?
Yeah. Well, that's my main point about the new signing. Andy Kick's not over the line yet. I take it it's tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, not confirmed yet.
Well, that's what I mean, from a Rangers point of view, I think we've got a bigger team. I think we've got more quality in there with regards to taking on the Europa League. I think that was a big detrimental part of Rangers in the domestic scene last year, was because of the amount of games they played from all the qualifiers. Bearing in mind, I think they were the only one team maybe from that had to go through the full the preliminary round all the way through to the group stages. So I think that had a knock-on effect last year. But I think we've brought in more quality. But my wee qualm about it is, and I don't know what like Gordon and the Mushrooms for us, and maybe yourself, Gordon, what you think about. We're getting a lot of midfielders in. I'm a wee bit concerned that we're not putting more up front. So we've got Morelos and Defoe on fire, can't complain. But it just takes one twist of the knee or one bad movement or something, then you're down that. Who else do we bring in up front? So I think we've got Pack's attacking-minded midfielders. You've got Arfield and people like that, and Jones in the wing. Defence seems to be much more sturdy this year. Four centre backs, and I think we've tightened up there. But I'm just concerned. Why not maybe bring in another attacker? I'd kind of preferred that. But again, I think the quality of King, Premier League winner, he's played under Ranieri and people like that. So happy with that. Another body in there. But again, what do you think about up front?
Yeah, Gordon, I think yesterday Steven Gerrard, along the same lines as that, he suggested that they won't sign a new striker. He mentioned the two they have. He even name dropped Zach Rudden, who was very good on loan at Falkirk last season, is still at the club and is a youngster who's recovering from an injury. What do you make of that area of the pitch? Will they have enough, or like Paul, would you like to see one added?
No, I think they've got enough. I think that with the formation, he's going to stick to the 4-3-3 formation, Gordon, right? And what he's doing is, with the amount of games, he's trying to build a squad where there's two quality players for his position. If you look in the midfield, he's got the three tonight starting. If he brings in King, that'll be probably six.
Yeah, Doherty's the sixth then. Yeah. So King, Jack, Davis, Aribo, Kamara, Doherty, yeah. Six for three positions.
For three positions. So that's bags of cover. If you look up top and he plays three up top.
And that's including Arfield as an attacker now, rather than one of those midfield
three. Yeah, I put him as an attacker. He's got six of them. And I'm leaving out Hasty, because I think Hasty will probably go out and loan to get back experience. I think he needs that. But he's got six of them as well. He's got four centre backs. He's got two left backs, maybe three with Halliday in there. And his right back position, Flanagan, can cover. So I think he's built a squad that covers every position with a bit of quality in every position. And he can rotate that because there's a lot of games coming up.
All right, thanks to Paul in Crookston. It's 0141 951 1025 if you'd like to join in. And get your pen and paper at the ready. We've got a full-time teaser coming up next. Let's see if you can get the answers before Mark and Gordon do.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. Still plenty of time for you to get your call in on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's 0141 951 1025. But before we speak to anyone else, we've got a full-time teaser to get up and running. Every night at this time, we come out of the break and we read out a question that you sent in, and we try and test the pundits to see if they can come up with all the answers before the end of the show. The beauty of it is, like I say, you provide the questions. So if you've got a good one that you want to share, please send it to fulltime@clyde1.com. That's what Dylan did. Dylan sent this one in. Dylan Patton says, John McGinn, Kenny McLean and John Fleck all made their English Premier League debuts this weekend whilst playing for a newly promoted club. Can you name the 10 Scots to do the same prior to this season? So John McGinn, Kenny McLean and John Fleck all made their English Premier League debuts this weekend whilst playing for a newly promoted club. Can you name the last 10 Scots to do the same prior to this season?
With Sheffield?
Prior to this season. As in before this season.
All right.
It's going to be a long night.
Tom Kearney.
Good one.
No.
This could be a long one.
MacArthur.
No.
McCarthy.
This is going to be tough. Stephen Fletcher.
No.
Oh, we're having a shocker.
The fullback, it was at Hamilton.
Oh, Brian Easton.
No. You keep saying no. What do you call him? Fullback.
Who? Yeah. No, man.
Is a Hamilton player in there?
No.
That's okay. I can rule him out.
Come on.
I'm struggling right away with this.
So we're looking for, before this season, the last 10 Scots,
Stephen Pearson,
to make their English Premier League debut for a newly promoted club. Stephen Pearson, no.
No.
Kenny Miller.
No. Right, here's one to get you up and running.
He's a clue.
You are not this guy's biggest fan.
Shinny.
No. When has he played in the English Premier League? The other one used to slaughter before we moved
Patterson,
on to Graham Shinney.
Callum Patterson,
there we go.
Nine
more to go. Sean and Craig End, a Rangers fan, 15 minutes to kick off. Give us a score prediction, Sean.
Right, guys, I'll give you a score prediction.
Go for it.
I'm going Rangers 4, Rangers to win 4-0.
Wow.
I'm going Wolves to win 3-0 tonight. Right. And I'll say Aberdeen to win 2-1 tonight.
We didn't want you coming, Sean. Just the Rangers score would have been good enough.
Sean, I take it, I mean, you're...
I want you to use your brain. So what do you think? Wolves, Aberdeen and Stillmore Butte tonight?
Let's dissect the Wolves.
Let's forget about Wolves. Let's forget about Wolves.
Wolves have got a good chance, I think.
Wolves have got a good chance.
Playing good football at the minute.
Mark has got Aberdeen. He's given them a chance, yeah. Gordon's not. Sean says 2-1 Aberdeen, which wouldn't be enough. Sean, what do you make of the starting 11 for your team tonight then? Happy with it?
I'm happy with Rangers are through the next round anyway, because I can't see that team come to Ibrox and scoring 3 goals. They need to be Barcelona in our cousin tonight, so it's easy for through the next round.
The thing is, Sean, I think most people, Gordon and Mark, agree Rangers should go through, but this is just one of those calls that's going to get played tomorrow night, isn't it, if it somehow goes wrong.
Oh, John, nobody thought Cluj would score 4 goals at Celtic Park.
His name's Sean.
Sean, John. Sean, John. Sorry, I was too busy concentrating on your cutting with Wolves.
You're ready, your best left back. It's all doing hell now.
It's all doing hell. You're right, John.
Sean, what about this potential signing of Andy King? It looks like it will be confirmed in the coming days. Are you happy with that one?
I'm very much happy with it. That's a guy that won the Premier League with Leicester, when Leicester basically shouldn't have a chance. So basically, it's got to be a good year for Rangers now, isn't it?
I can just see Andy King becoming a part of future full-time teasers as a guy who's won the English Premier League and played in Scotland. You can just see that, can't you?
Yeah.
Added in. That's not tonight's, don't worry.
The only thing is with Andy King is he's not played a lot of football in the past couple of years, but no doubt before that, I mean, an integral part of that squad that done so well. I mean, you don't lose your ability, but you just wonder why he hasn't played.
He actually played 3 times for Wales last season. Yeah. He almost played as much for Wales as he did in club football last season.
So he's 4 appearances.
He's clearly got a lot of experience.
Of course, he has. And like I say, before that period, the last couple of years, outstanding player. You just wonder about his fitness. But I guess Rangers don't really need to worry about that fitness because they are so strong in that midfield area. He's not been brought in to be an automatic starter, I don't think, right away. But if you get him up to speed and give him bits and pieces of the game to get him up and running and get his fitness up, then there's no doubt he has the ability to succeed in Scotland.
Yeah, I think he's a decent player. I really do. Very experienced. Lack of games, but you can soon catch that up. When Davis and Defoe come in January, it was the same situation, and have a look at how they're performing now. So I think that's a good, if it goes through, Gordon, I think it's a very good addition to the squad.
Thanks to Sean in Craigend. We're on Twitter. Colin Moffat has got a cracking answer to the teaser that you don't have, because you're hopeless. And Graham Carlin says, is it true that DL was so bad on Beat the Pundit that Clyde have asked Callum McGregor to come in and play that position?
Good one.
Yeah, I did.
Right, quickly on the teaser, because
Andy Robertson,
hopeless. No.
Fraser Fivey.
No.
What? No. Oh, Charlie Adam. Stoke.
No.
Blackpool.
No.
Am I getting this wrong?
Yeah.
Okay then. Is Charlie Adam one?
Charlie Adam, let me check.
For Blackpool? Did he go straight to Liverpool? Did he?
No, he went to Blackpool first, but he's not one.
Did he get promoted?
According to Dylan.
And he did make his debut.
He's not one of the last 10. Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, last 10.
Kevin McDonald.
No.
Burnley.
David Marshall.
Yes, you finally got another one.
What about Robert Snodgrass?
Nope.
I'm firing all sorts of just Scottish names here.
Hold on. Oh! Naismith with Norwich?
No. All right, you've got two. Let's speak to David, who's a Celtic fan from Aberdeen. Hi, David.
Hi, good evening, panel.
Hello.
Hi,
David. What's on your mind, David?
Hi, guys. Guys, basically, I'm just wanting to discuss really the sheer lack of defensive players at Celtic at the moment. To me, in my eyes, it's really obvious that we obviously need another left back. We need obviously a right back and another central defender. But most importantly, we need another goalkeeper. Europe, in my eyes, doesn't matter. The most important thing for all Celtic supporters out there is to guarantee 9 and 10 in a row. And I think that the board really need to start really getting their finger out here and, you know, sorting the defence out, because it's losing 4 goals at Celtic Park against a team from Romania is not acceptable. I'd like your thoughts.
Do you know what I'm thinking? Scott Bain came in for a lot of plaudits last season, since he came in. I always think that Craig Gordon for me is the best shot stopper. And
on that, tell you that this evening a story has appeared in the Scottish Sun which says that Scott Bain is injured for up to 2 months and Celtic will look to the transfer market for cover. Now we'll speak to Neil Lennon tomorrow, so we'll get a bit more on that. But that's according to the Scottish Sun at the moment, a hand problem.
I tell you what, Gordon, when the third goal went in the other night, where he should have pushed it round the post, when the Clues were celebrating, he was down and he was signalling for treatment. So I don't know if it's came there. I initially thought it was one of the old ones. You know, I should have done better. And I'm kind of feeling a bit sorry for myself. Yeah, but there you go. I must say, I think I'm going with what you were saying there. I think Celtic have got two very good goalkeepers. Scott being a wee bit of criticism recently, but Daz was just saying there, came in for a lot of plaudits last year. Craig Gordon, you know, done nothing wrong to be dropped. So I'm not in the camp that they need another goalkeeper. However,
well, they will
the
now,
news
surely,
you've just
yeah.
told me then suggests that yep. they need to get someone in.
David, what do you make of that?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you know, Scott Bain, his distribution's been okay. You know, but I think in order to, you know, try and guarantee the league, really, we need another goalkeeper. There's been talk of Baser Foster. I'm not sure what Arthur Boric is doing with Celtic nowadays, but you know, I certainly think that we need more another replacement than, you know, Scott Bain and Craig Gordon.
Well, I think if Scott Bain wasn't injured, I would probably say I think they've got a decent enough cover. I've heard this, you know, in the last week or so about people saying, well, they need another goalkeeper. Obviously, we'll get reports tomorrow. It's out in the Scottish Sun. And, you know, if he is injured for a month, then they've got
two months,
then they've got to go and get cover, Gordon. That's a priority. You can't leave yourself with just Craig Gordon, who I think is a very good goalkeeper. So it'll be interesting to see. They'll have names on a list. It'll be interesting to see who they bring in.
I mean, the problem is with Foster, I think he would command quite a high price. You know, I've seen reports 10 million quid.
He's miles off it. He's miles away from.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you never know, you might get him on the cheap.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, you might. I mean, if you're bringing in somebody, Fraser Foster did a terrific job for Celtic and showing, even after he left, what a good goalkeeper he is. But I don't know if Celtic would really splash out. I know they've got all this money, but I don't know if they'd splash out millions and millions of pounds on a goalkeeper that may not even be the number one.
It's funny how the Celtic supporters are talking about you need to get the defence sorted. They've spent 10 million quid. They've spent 10 million quid in their defence.
Yeah, but what I think David is talking about numbers as well, and Mark mentioned it earlier in the show, even if you think Ballingolly is a world beater, and I'm pretty sure not many people do at the moment, they still need another left back. You need another one. And to be fair to El Hamed, he has looked pretty good since he's come in, but you still need another right back.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of how good or bad you think they are, it's just about options, is it not?
Yeah, but the criticism that they're coming in for, and they've spent 10 million already.
But
I do agree with you that they do need cover. But if other teams had spent 10 million pounds on their defence, they would think that the starting back four would be a strong back four. That's David, what my point is.
David, here's the thing. It must be quite frustrating for Neil Lennon because, yeah, of course, let's forget about the Ballingolly Callum McGregor thing just for a minute. I think we've done that to death. Going into the game the other night, would most Celtic fans not have chosen the exact same centre-back pairing of Iyer and Simunovic?
No, you know, no. Probably looking at it now, they probably would have. But, you know, paying £7 million for a defender and the guy's left on the bench, you know, it raises questions in my eyes. It certainly makes me think that we need another centre defender as well, you know, which you already mentioned. You know, I just think we need to bolster up in the defence, and I think the goalkeeper position also needs bolstered up. As I say, in order to put us in the best position to get this 9 and 10 in a row. I mean, that's all that matters to the Celtic supporters. Yeah. Failure is not an option here, you know. We need to guarantee this.
Okay, thank you, David. In Aberdeen, we'll get your answers to the full-time teaser, hopefully, and kick off at Ibrox and Pittodrie next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. Let's go straight to Ibrox and build up to kick off with Alison Conroy.
Yeah, the teams are out on the pitch here at Ibrox ahead of this Europa League second leg qualifier against Midtjylland. Run through the team again for Rangers. First of all, Alan McGregor in goal, a back four of James Tavernier, Nicola Katic, Conor Goldson and John Flanagan. In the midfield, Ryan Jack, Glenn Kamara and Stephen Davis. Up top, Shea Ojo, Alfredo Morelos and Scott Arfield. On the bench, Fodringham, Hollander, Defoe, Aribo, Jones, Doherty and Barisic. 4-2 Rangers lead going into this one, but for Steven Gerrard, it's that 0-0 mentality as they look to book their place in the Europa League playoff stage along with Celtic.
Right, come on then, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. I'll take a score prediction from you.
Go on, Mark, you go first.
Rangers will win this one 3-1.
Gordon DL?
I think Rangers will win it 2-0.
Okay, so comfortably through then. Yeah. That's the bottom line.
Defoe to score both.
Who?
Defoe for a brace.
Yeah, come on for the bench. What's up with that?
Nothing.
Right, the guys are working towards Dylan's full-time teaser. Dylan sent this question and the answers into fulltime@clyde1.com. So let's have yours as we go forward into the new season. John McGinn, Kenny McLean, John Fleck made their Premier League debuts this weekend whilst playing for a newly promoted club. Can you name the last 10 Scots to do the same prior to this season? You've already got Callum Patterson and David Marshall.
Alan McGregor for
yes.
Hull City.
Well done.
And then Kev McNaughton, Cardiff.
Brilliant.
That's a great shout.
Yeah.
That is a great shout from you. Well done.
Yeah. Got Danny Fox, that's from me.
Who?
Danny Fox.
Danny Fox.
So Danny Fox, what'd you call him? What'd you call him?
Well, it's your answer. You should know his first name.
The one that played with Celtic?
Yeah, Fox.
Who did he play for down south?
He plays for Nottingham Forest now. Good player. Uh-huh. Good left sided player.
Who did he go to as well?
That is right. I'm just terrorising you. He's played for Southampton at the time. Danny Fox is one of them. Well done.
Gordon Greer?
Nope. You've got half of them.
Can I come up with Brighton? Make his debut? No.
You've got half of them.
Sean Maloney?
Nope.
Stephen Thompson?
Nope.
If I say Stephen Thompson before. Star Scrum. Listen, you can join in anytime you want.
I've got Danny Fox. I'm quite happy with that.
The only thing I'll
Matt Ritchie?
No. There's one who's
Barry Douglas?
Nope. There's one who's technically still in. He's in our Premiership now. He's been injured for quite a while, so we've not seen him recently. But he's in the Scottish Premiership now.
And who does he play for?
They're playing tonight, not too far from here.
Clyde Blackburn.
Home Park.
Oh,
who's
on.
Injured? Graeme Dorans.
The other one.
Who's the other one?
Murphy.
Jamie Murphy. You two are actually beyond help. But you've got four to get. Let's speak to David in Cumbernauld. Hi, David.
Hi there, panel.
Hi, David. What's your point tonight?
Yeah, I just wanted to come on and talk a little bit about Steven Gerrard and how great I think he is for our team and for Scottish football in Hull. I think a lot of the time he's been a really bit of fresh air. His comments for me are always very measured. He never really rips into anybody that I've heard of anyway, apart from right at the beginning of the season. He always seems to have a measured approach for things, and especially, I think it was yesterday that he came out and he was saying it was a shame that Celtic got put out when he did. And I was just thinking, I was like, that's not every manager that would come out and say that, especially for a rival team. And I just think he's bringing something to the Rangers team that we've missed, that in a high-class air, if you know what I mean.
Okay, listen, David's sort of stepping away from the results side of things because that's what you get most often, Gordon. But he's just impressed with the way Steven Gerrard conducting himself at the moment. Is that something you've noticed?
Yeah, I think like most Rangers fans, they're delighted with him, Gordon. He does seem a bit calm now. He's learning the trade. Remember, he's in his second year of management. Doesn't matter what you've achieved as a player, management's completely different because you've got to manage every part of the club and so many players that he's got at his disposal. He's got to pick the right tactics, the right teams. He gets put in front of the press, you know, every single day. He's got to handle that as well. And so far, I think the Rangers fans have been absolutely delighted. But this is a big season for him because as much as he's, you know, building a very good squad, They're playing good football just now. The fans are loving it. They've really got to win silverware, Gordon. That is the end of it. He's got to win silverware. And if he gets to another season and he doesn't manage that, I think the Rangers fans will have a different approach.
Mark Wilson.
Well, I've got to agree. I was going to ask David that. He's saying he's great for, you know, Rangers in the Scottish game. And, you know, of course, he comes across well. He's done millions of media things throughout his career. So he does speak well. However, would the opinion still be the same that he's great, you know, for Rangers if he doesn't win something?
To be fair to David, that's not what he's on about. He's not on to say that.
Well, he's saying he's great for Rangers, you know.
Yeah, the way he's conducting himself.
Of course, I mean, but
you don't have to agree. I tell you what, Ronnie
Dyla was conducted himself brilliant for Celtic. However, the fans started to turn when things weren't successful on the park. So he needs to keep the two in unison. That's my point.
Yeah, if I could just come in there a little bit, guys. I just think previously it's been very rivalistic, and the one thing I would take from a show that would be the scuff up between Neil Lennon and Alistair McCoist a couple of years ago. And I just feel like that would never, Steven Gerrard would never do that. And I just feel like that kind of calm and air is always welcome, for me at least, because I feel like sometimes you'll get fans that are just on the edge of, well, I'm going to get really angry here. And I feel like maybe having a manager there to just to steer things in the right direction is always a good thing.
Well, I do believe that. I do believe it helps when you've got a calming influence.
I'm sure he's got a feisty side when needed, no?
Well, we've seen it when he was a player, of course. You know, and you even seen it in a few press conferences when he came out and he was having a go at his own team, you know, just saying it wasn't good enough, even when they were winning. And that was him being watered down to us, to listen to. So in the dressing room, there's no doubt he's got a feisty side, but you need to keep your temper and control when you're on the touchline. And Steven Gerrard has shown that so far.
First chance of the match, Ibrox goes to the visitors. Schultz sends an effort past the post. It was a narrow angle, so not real danger for Rangers. Still goalless, Rangers 4-2 on aggregate. Big game tomorrow night in the Betfred Cup, Motherwell against Hearts. Let's hear from Stephen Robinson praising his goal-scoring midfielder Liam Donnelly. Thinks he's due some international recognition.
Perhaps not the amount of goals, no. I've seen him score a lot of penalties, so I was very confident in that. He's got a great strike on him, both feet. You know, he's got two very, very good feet. I'd say he played the left of the centre half for me as a young boy, and anyone in the midfield for Northern's under-21s. And he's played against the calibre of Spain, you know, and their 21s are no mugs. He's been very good there, and you know, he's probably knocking on Northern Ireland senior squad now if he continues that kind of form. Michael O'Neill was at the game on Saturday as well. So the goals, yeah, are a wee bit of a surprise, but they're a welcome surprise. Michael doesn't miss much, you know. We have as Northern Ireland only have a small pool of players to pick from. So if Liam continues in the vein that he is and continues to play games, that's the biggest thing for Liam, getting games under his belt. He's already had it, you know. He's a full international. His career lost as well a little bit. You know, he didn't maybe play the game time, and this was to revive his career, and he realised that. We spoke to him. We said, you know, this could be a last chance saloon here. You know, we'll give you the platform. You get yourself fit, and we've given the platform, and he's certainly taken his opportunity so far. And you know, hopefully he'll continue to do that.
I'm sure Stephen Robinson will be looking to his goal-scoring midfielder Liam Donnelly tomorrow. Gordon, I mean, he was a centre half last season. Mm-hmm. Struggled with injury, didn't get in the team a lot. Struggled with fitness. He's come into the team, can't stop scoring, and now all of a sudden looks a very important player for your team, Motherwell. What are you thinking of that game tomorrow?
Yeah, he's got off to a great start. He is a very important player because he's obviously adding goals to his game. They've found the right position for him, I think, Gordon. I think it's a big game for both clubs. Motherwell obviously disappointed of the drubbing off Celtic last week at Fir Park. They'll be looking to beat Hearts, who are really, with Craig Levein, under a little bit of pressure. So I think it's got the makings of a real good game. We're all going along. And it'll be interesting to see the outcome of that. But on home turf, and the way Motherwell started it last week against Celtic, if they can keep that up, and so, they're not going to come up against the quality that Celtic have middle to front, I think they've got a great chance of getting through tomorrow night.
The game's not played on paper and all that, Mark Wilson, but Glenn Whelan looks a good sign for Hearts. Well, listen, whether he can come in and make an impact as early as tomorrow, who knows, but certainly played over 30 games in a promotion winning Aston Villa side last season.
Listen, huge experience. You know, you think of him, international football, Premier League, you know, what he's done. Competitor in the middle of the park. someone that Hearts, I think, need, who'll drag their players through. Bit of a moaner as well. You know, you pair that with Stephen Naismith, because you take Naismith out of that team, I don't know how many characters Hearts have. So if you add Glenn Whelan in, I think that looks to be a terrific signing.
You two have got a lot of work still to do on this question. Sent to fulltime at Clyde1.com by Dylan. He says, John McGinn, Kenny McLean, John Fleck made their Premier League debuts this weekend whilst playing for a newly promoted club. Can you name the last 10 Scots to do the same prior to this season? You've got Callum Patterson, David Marshall, Alan McGregor, Kevin McNaughton, Danny Fox, Jamie Murphy, four to get.
Andrew Shinney?
Nope.
Oh, Jordan Rhodes.
Yes, Jordan Rhodes, well done.
I've wrote that one down as well. I didn't see that. Listen to you, taking the credit.
I'll put the ball in the back anyway.
We're struggling here.
We need clues.
What's that,
Gordon?
Three to go?
Three to go.
Yeah, we need clues.
One of them's played up here, two of them haven't.
Matt's a
good Yeah, it's a great clue, isn't it? Yeah.
Thought you might.
Okay, let's go for the one who's played up here. Will I give you his clubs up here?
Yeah.
Hearts most recently.
Hearts most recently.
And was it Inverness? Yes.
Hart.
We'll give his club down south. One you're looking for. Cardiff. He also has played for Wigan, but Cardiff is the one in question. I've just given you this guy's Wikipedia. I've given you Wigan, Cardiff, Inverness and Hearts.
Is he a Pisces or a Leo?
Come on.
Andy Webster.
No, he's a midfielder.
Oh. No, I nearly had him there. Cardiff.
You two are unbelievable.
Initials.
DC. Well, I'll just tell you his first name,
David,
and see if you can get the
Daniel.
Second name.
David Daniel.
Don.
Don Cowie.
Don Cowie. Oh, Cowie. Come on.
Easy. Quick.
And easy when you know the name.
Two that haven't played up here. This guy did it for Watford. And he's never played up here, but he's a Scotland international. He's got quite a few caps.
Oh, right back.
Anya.
Yes, I catch you, Anya. And the other one did it for Hull in 2013-14. Has never played up here. He's got long hair.
Oh,
George Boyd.
Listen, that wasn't a classic effort, but we got the amend. We're back tomorrow at 6 o'clock, and Stephen Mill is up next.
One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.